Trustee John Butler. Trustee Wheeler Coleman. Trustee Robert Marshall. Trustee Tim Struthers. Board Chair Mark Strauss. Trustee Matthew Holmes. Committee Chair Sherilyn Muir.
Here.
Thank you.
Mr. Blakemore, would you please confirm that appropriate notices of this meeting have been provided?
Madam Chair, appropriate notice pursuant to the Illinois Open Meetings Act have been made, and you do have a quorum.
May I have a motion to approve the committee agenda as proposed? Do I have a second? Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Motion is approved. May I have a motion to approve the minutes of the May 19th Lorry Committee meeting? Do I have a second? All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carried. I would like to recognize our Faculty Senate President, Dr. Greg Long. Good morning. How are you today?
Very good, thank you.
Very good. Also, we have present, I believe, Dr. Kendall Thu.
Not today.
Not today, okay. And Kathy Dodeline. Good morning, Kathy. How are you today? Good. Would either one of you like to make any comments at this point?
Sure, I'll take advantage of the opportunity. Thank you. I would just like to say to the board, welcome to the start of fall semester. It's an exciting time for all of us, seeing the students come back, faculty return to campus. And I recognize my role as the Executive Secretary of University Council. My heart, however, still beats as a faculty member. And I really look at the opportunity to work with the students and our colleagues to create and educate and serve as a blessing. I think it's a tremendous opportunity. And during this committee meeting, one of the topics has to do with research and our progress and work in that. And I would just like to emphasize two points. One is the opportunity to lead research and create artistry is one of the most exciting parts of our work. It provides an opportunity to collaborate with students and other colleagues, and it's also one of the most visible and highly evaluated parts of what we do in our role as professors. The second thing, though, that I would like to mention is that our contracts run August through May. And so when we're in our typical academic year, a lot of our attention is focused on service and teaching, and that many of us spend significant portions of our 3 months where we're, quote, not working, actually working very hard to pursue our research and get our writing in and so forth. And so I would just say anything that we can do to facilitate and support faculty research during the academic year would also be appreciated too, because we do, you know, again, 9-month contracts, but I know very few of us who don't tend to work 12 months a year to be sure that we get our research and artistry done and at a standard that's where we want it to be. So I'd just like to say that. Thank you.
Well, thank you for those comments. We certainly appreciate all the work that our faculty does, and that's not just an empty commentary. The faculty is the heartbeat of this university, and certainly from this chair, research is critical for us to maintain the identity of Northern Illinois University as a research institution. And I think Dr. Blase is going to make some comments in that regard. We need to all remember this. It's easier in good times to focus on research. It's imperative in bad times to focus on research. So thank you for your comments. Kathy, do you have any comments you'd like
to
make?
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. This is the point in our agenda where we may recognize members of the public who have complied with state law and Board of Trustees bylaws by registering their written request to address the board with our parliamentarian. Mr. Blakemore, have you received any timely requests?
Madam Chair, we have not received any requests at all.
Okay, thank you. Our agenda today begins with our legislative report from Springfield and Washington, and we have both of our liaisons here today, and I'm very pleased about that. I think we'll start with the state legislative update. Mr. Mann.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'll keep my remarks short and sweet today since there are other presentations planned. As most of you know, on June 30th, the General Assembly passed what I would refer to as a short-term spending measure for FY17. There was great urgency. Even though on June 20, 9th, there was little hope for much progress, but on June 30th, things changed rapidly. There was a desire by legislative leaders and the administration to get some sort of spending measure in place to ensure the basic continuity of state operations as well as the opening of K-12 schools in the fall. So if you would take a quick look at your materials, figure 1 on page 9 of my report, you will see that the FY, it's referred to as a six-month budget because the appropriation that we have received for FY17 is meant to approximate half a year's appropriation. In Figure 1, you'll notice that the budget bill that was passed includes $48.3 million for operating expenses. It includes $15.5 million for the Capital Stevens renovation project, and it also included funding for our spring 2016 MAP awards for our students, which we had been covering awaiting state funding. So just in summary, Figure 1 is kind of the good news slide on this page. It's maybe not all that we had hoped for, but on June 29th, things looked pretty bleak. So it was a rapid one-day turnaround. So we were fairly pleased that something happened. If you're looking for a not-so-good news slide, scan down the page to Figure 2, which is a short little summary that reflects what has happened the last couple of years with our state appropriation. Our last full year appropriation in 2015 was $91.1 million. And again, we actually started that year with $93 million and took about a 2.25% reduction about three quarters of the way through the year. FY16, the books are closed on FY16. And as you can see by the chart, we received $26.4 million, which is a 29% budget, which is a different way of saying we took a 71% budget cut in FY2016. The FY2017 six-month budget we received is $48.3 million. Again, that's a 53% budget using the $91.1 million as the base. When you add those two figures together for the 18-month period, excuse me, it approximates about 82% of that $91.1 million figure. Unfortunately, that is being portrayed in the media and in circles as that higher education has been taken care of. We've received an 82% budget. That's not too bad. Unfortunately, unless you look at the figures and realize that it's for an 18-month period, it's a devastating blow, and we will be working hard in the coming year to get a more complete budget for 17. And believe it or not, we have meetings with the IBHE in October to talk about FY18 budget development. So here we go again with another difficult budget year ahead of us, and we will do what we can to advocate for higher education and express our urgent need for adequate and sufficient funding. So I think I'll just stop right there.
Any questions from the board? John?
I wonder if either you or Dr. Phillips could, or Dr. Baker could, comment on the decision to characterize this as a FY17 partial budget as opposed to characterize it as more for FY16, leaving open the argument that nothing's come for 17.
Well, my honest opinion is that there was more concern about K-12 in FY17 and DOT projects, the threat of DOT projects shutting down on July 1st. It seemed to me in the Capitol there was more concern about FY17 than there was about higher ed or FY16. That's one comment I'd make. The other comment I would make is that due to higher ed's concern about the significant cut we took in FY16, there was language added to this appropriation bill that allows us to use this FY17 money to cover FY16 expenses. I don't know if that's doing us a favor or not, but that's my observation. I'm good. One of the challenges is that we, even though we received a partial or a stopgap budget for 16 and 17, the money doesn't actually show up till 17. Actually, of the $48.3 million, we will not receive all that till the end of December. I think to this point we've received, I want to say, about $8 million of it. It's coming in. But even though it could be used against fiscal year 16 bills, we actually still don't have the money, but we're paying the oldest bills first. So essentially it is going against obligations for 16, but we won't actually have the funding until it shows up, and we're not going to receive it all till the end of the calendar year.
Other questions? I had a couple of questions, Mike. First thought is, when the budget was prepared, was the money distributed on an equally proportional ratio with the other public institutions?
Very good question. You will remember, maybe, that in April or May, I came before the committee and relayed my frustration with a draft allocation that only provided us with $28 million and other institutions, which represented a very small percentage of our previous year appropriation, while other institutions that were deemed to be in more urgent need for financial support receive a much higher percentage in this draft budget. We worked hard with legislative staff and others to let them know how unfair that type of allocation would be. So with this $48.3 million we received, on a percentage basis, that puts us on equal footing with all the other institutions, which we were very happy to see again on June 29th. Prior to June 29th, we were looking at $28 million. On June 29th, I was looking at $0. And then on June 30th, when 48 popped up and money for Stevens and money for MAP, we felt pretty good about that rapid development. If you look on, excuse me, is that Excel table in the book? Oh, yes, it is. There's another, if you look at table one in my report, it will actually show how we were treated relative to the other institutions. And if it's difficult to read sideways, I apologize. But you'll notice that while the combined funding for us for the FY16 stopgap and the FY17 short-term budget resulted in an 18% reduction for us, which is, again, that's the 82% budget equal to an 18% reduction. Most other schools are also at 18%. There are three institutions that fared better. Again, Chicago State, Eastern, and Western had a 10% reduction or a 90% funding level. I believe I told the committee back in April that rather than a 90 and an 82% scenario, we were looking at a 90% and a 25% scenario. So we came up to the 82% level. And again, I'm sorry if I'm using that 82% term, but 82% is for, again, for 18 months, not 1 year.
Thank you for all the work that you and your team did in Springfield. I have two other questions. Give us a status report, as best you know, of where is Chicago State in terms of their viability?
All I can really tell you is things that I have read in the newspaper, so I don't really have any inside information on the specific details of their financial situation. I would really hate to speculate.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's very important for us to be aware of, because if something catastrophic happened to Chicago State, that would be precedent-setting for universities. My last question is it's much more subjective, but in your work with the legislators, have they reacted in any way to some of the more assertive positions the Tribune has taken and actually identified that on a long-term basis this situation is decimating higher education in the state of Illinois, and you just don't pop it back up? It just doesn't bounce back up when you decide to snap your fingers.
When we talk to legislators individually and in small groups, there seems to be a realization and a concern that that's happening, but as a body, it has not resulted in any positive results for us. And again, on June 30th, once that budget passed, I would say almost 100% of the attention now is on the November election. So somebody asked me the other day what's happening with the budget, and the answer is nothing right now. Nothing until potentially veto session, and nothing potentially until January when the 100th General Assembly is seated in mid to late January. So we're hoping. Their veto session right now is only scheduled for 6 days. There are 3 days in November, 5 days in November, and then the first day of December. So they've got 6 days on the calendar right now, which they potentially could convene and potentially take action on budget or revenue enhancements, potentially.
Thank you again for being so aggressive and assertive on behalf of this university. And thank you, Dr. Baker, and your leadership team. If you just accept, that's not a good thing. And so we have to fight for our position. So thank you all for your work and continued work on this. And we need, is a message that needs to continue, because the decimation of higher education in the state of Illinois is a very serious matter for all citizens. So hopefully someone will listen to us eventually.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. So we have Dr. Anna Quigley here. So welcome, Anna. Nice to have you. And Anna was showing lovely pictures of her beautiful daughter, so we were delighted about that. But we're very happy that you're here to give the federal legislative report.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair and the Board. It is a true pleasure to be with you today, not only because it's wonderful to reconnect with you in person, but it's also wonderful to have a completely solid night of sleep. So thank you very much for that gift you have given me as a new parent.
You can stay a couple more days if you need it. Yeah.
So unfortunately, I don't know that my husband would be so happy with all of the night wake-ups. But well, thank you all so much for having me here today. Today, I'd like to give you a brief overview of our federal engagement in Washington, D.C. to date. For the past NIU fiscal year. So I apologize in advance. When I usually refer to fiscal years, I'm referring to the federal fiscal year, which starts October 1st and goes until the next September 30th. So I have adopted my own convention where if I'm referring to the NIU fiscal year, I put NIU-fiscal year in the slide. So that's not a standard, but you know, it's too confusing going between the fiscal years. So today I'd like to give you an update on our federal engagement for the NIU fiscal year that has passed, as well as insights into what we are planning for next year, the current fiscal year, and then also a quick run-through of some of the legislative and other federal updates that are taking place currently. So I'm a physicist, so I love numbers. So I thought a great way to do a snapshot of what we've been working on this past year in federal relations is to look at some of the numbers. So the first number I lead with is a whopping 268,000 viewers nationally of Science Coalition materials featuring NIU. So NIU, through the Office of Federal Relations, participates in a national coalition called the Science Coalition. This is a group of about 65 universities, two-thirds of which are AAU institutions, and we all come together and hire a public relations firm to help the universities get out the message that we need strong federal investment in science and technology and basic research. And working with the Science Coalition, NIU has participated in a number of media campaigns, primarily on social media, but also Jerry Blasey has participated in a senior research officer media roundtable. We've done blog posts, all sorts of things along those lines to get NIU's message out there to the nation that we need to be investing in science and technology and basic research. And if you add up across all of the platforms and tools, NIU's content has been viewed 268,000 times across the United States through the Science Coalition platform. I've engaged 120 NIU and NIU-affiliated students in federal relations. That includes meetings with members of Congress. It includes tours of federal facilities and those types of activities in Washington, D.C. We've submitted 19 federal fiscal year 2017 appropriations requests. That is more than we've done last year, and that's letting our congressional offices know what our funding priorities are for this year. We've engaged 11 NIU leaders and faculty in visits to Washington, D.C. They have met with members of Congress, as well as visited six different federal agencies. President Baker most recently came to the Department of Education with me. And finally, we've given one award to a member of Congress. The NIU has given the Champion of Science Award to Congressman Bill Foster for his work on the national level at highlighting the importance of science and technology for our nation's future and our higher education enterprise. And Provost Freeman was able to attend the award ceremony where that award was given to Congressman Foster. But I understand not everybody loves numbers as much as I do. So visuals are also very helpful at telling this story. I've picked a number of photos that show the broad range of federal activities we have done this year. So just a quick overview. We have in the upper left, that is Interim Vice President Jerry Blasey participating in a media roundtable at the National Press Club with nine other senior research officers from around the country. Seven of the institutions that participated were AAU institutions. That event was covered by the Wall Street Journal, as well as science publications such as Nature. In the upper right, we have Provost Freeman giving the award to Congressman Foster. In the bottom right, we have NIU student in the College of Health and Human Sciences meeting with Senator Kirk. Turns out our student is actually originally from Ukraine, and she and the senator had a little conversation in Ukrainian, which I didn't realize he speaks. So that was in Washington, D.C. in his office. And in the bottom left, we have Congressman Hultgren meeting with Dean Chris McCord, as well as one of our physics faculty members and a development officer to discuss NIU priorities. And finally, centrally, we have NIU and Argonne joint faculty member Mike Papka participating in a Capitol Hill reception where he's showing some of his NSF-sponsored Internet of Things research devices to a congressional staffer, and that event took place on Capitol Hill. So here is a video just to give you a little snippet of the type of materials that we're producing through the Science Coalition so you can see really what's been going out nationally about NIU. If you could please play the video. It's 2 minutes long, so we're just going to show about half of it. And it has sound. It should. So while we're working on the sound, what this is NIU, or Federal Relations, worked with our communications office to film NIU faculty and students answering the question, why should science matter to our presidential candidates? And these tiny little snippets were put together into various video products that have been pushed out nationally. These are nonpartisan, so these are just why science should matter because it cures cancer or because it helps American global competitiveness or those types of answers. But these are in the own words of NIU faculty and students. About 20 faculty and students participated in this project. So this is a video the Science Coalition produced for us, which is 2 minutes of exclusively NIU faculty and students answering this question. As I said, these little video vignettes were used in other various platforms and are still being tweeted out today by NIU and the Science Coalition. So we can. Yeah. So, well, perhaps we should move on if we can't get the sound. So you can see the range of NIU faculty and students that are being highlighted. You can see their titles clearly indicating they're from NIU. I think this was a great collaboration within NIU and also a good national visibility piece for us. Okay, so I'm just going to move on to the next slide. Okay. So looking ahead to our year of federal engagement, in addition to continuing all of the various pieces that we have been working on, which is our usual federal informing and engaging and advocacy efforts with Capitol Hill and the federal agencies involving students and faculty promoting what's of importance to them in the university in terms of our service, education, and research mission. So all of those usual activities that we've been doing, we'll continue to do. But we also have some exciting things in the hopper for this upcoming fiscal year, or this current fiscal year that we're in. Sorry, I keep thinking in terms of federal fiscal year as we're approaching our federal fiscal year. Anyhow, so a big thing that we're working on is in conjunction with University Advancement, we are looking into hosting a Capitol Hill reception. This would involve inviting NIU alumni to a reception hosted on Capitol Hill with our congressional delegation. And we would also, our plan is to also bring NIU researchers with posters and demonstrations of their research. So it would be a wonderful marrying of our alumni community as well as our congressional delegation. And we would also be able to invite federal program officers to attend. This would all take place on Capitol Hill. The timeline that we're looking at for this event, we can't say definitely because we have to see what the next congressional calendar is that will come out. For the new Congress that will be convening in January, but we're planning on either the spring or the fall of 2017. Athletics advocacy has been ramping up through our athletics division, the MAC. So the MAC has been convening all of the federal relations officers from its member institutions, and NIU is poised to take a leadership role in helping the MAC to engage at the federal level. So our plan is for advocacy to focus not only on athletics issues that are of interest to all of the MAC universities, but also for the broader issues that affect us as institutions. We think this could be a powerful device and also allow for additional congressional receptions and visit days and that type of thing. Federal Relations is working with athletics to invite members of Congress to our upcoming, amazing football day at Soldiers Field in November. Cellular Field.
Guaranteed rate.
The White Sox Stadium. You can see that I do the federal work, so. But this, we think, would be a great opportunity to engage our congressional delegation in our athletics program and interact with some of our students in that type of work. And finally, NIU has a number of its program prioritization and other assessment programs going on at the moment. And Federal Relations remains committed to providing high-quality service to whatever the federal priorities are for the university going forward. So we're keeping an eye on what happens, the outcomes from that process, so that we can make sure that we are fully integrated into the university's priorities. Just a real quick update on some of the issues that are currently happening at the national level. The fiscal year 2017 will be starting October 1st. Congress has not finished its appropriations business for the year yet. This is not unexpected. What usually happens in modern and recent times is Congress does not finish its appropriations work until December. So they pass a continuing resolution, and then in December they will finish the complete appropriations work. So this is the scenario that we are pushing for at the federal level, and this will be most likely to yield the best outcomes for NIU's priorities. There are some in Congress, some members are pushing for a continuing resolution that goes until March of 2017. That would give the new Congress time to develop to push its appropriations agenda, as well as the new administration. That is a scenario that has a lot of uncertainty in it. So for NIU, we think that it would be best if appropriations were to wrap up in December as expected. So that's something we're working with our congressional offices on. Legislatively, unfortunately, Congress is in a bit of gridlock, and there hasn't been a lot of legislative action this year. There are a couple of pieces of legislation that could move by the end of this congressional session, by the end of December, that would be favorable for NIU. One is the National Defense Authorization Act. Within that act, which authorizes the Department of Defense, that is currently being discussed as including a manufacturing university's proposal. This would be a brand new grant program that would allow NIU to compete for up to $5 million in funding to establish ourselves as a national manufacturing universities hub. So that would be something, for example, that would be very favorable. But unfortunately, not a lot of legislation is expected to move between now and the end of December. And finally, the Obama administration is wrapping up. Their catchphrase, however, is that they are going to run through the tape and not slow down as they approach the end of the Obama administration. So they continue to issue executive orders and executive actions. They continue to engage in active rulemaking processes. So that is something that we're still keeping a close eye on, even though that administration will be ending in the next few months. Finally, I would be remiss if I did not mention the presidential election that is going on. I think, as you all know, following the news, it is a tumultuous year in presidential election politics, an unusual year. And what I've highlighted for you here on the screen are the stated, published on their website, policy position statements from the Republican ticket as well as the Democratic ticket on there are statements that include NIU priorities and equities. So these are things you can go to their website, click on issues or positions and read them. And these are the topics that have equities for NIU. That said, each of the candidates is constantly refining and shaping their positions through their informal communications as well as formal speeches. So it's really hard to say where we're going to come out with each of the presidential candidates because this is a literally not only a day-by-day but an hour-by-hour evolving situation. So all I can say is I encourage all of us to vote if we are able as American citizens. Finally, thank you very much for your time. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Dr. Quider. Questions? I did have a question for you. I recall a very lengthy discussions that we had in the past 2 years about research money not necessarily coming from Congress and appropriations, but really the area of concentration needed to be on agencies. You spend a great deal of your time this morning talking about Congress and talking about legislation, and less time talking about where we are relative to the agencies. I think that was, especially as we had brought you into your position, that was the area that we really wanted to focus upon, given that we felt that that's where the money was. Could you just spend a few minutes talking about your work with the agencies and the opportunities that you think we have, and how realistic are they, and what kind of turnaround?
Yes, thank you for the opportunity to address that. And I apologize for not delving more into that in my remarks. So the current work that we're doing with federal agencies is really on the visibility raising for Northern Illinois University and our researchers. At the end of the day, to be effective in securing federal agency research funding, our researchers need to write grants that are selected to be in the top 10% or 20% of the funding bodies that they're applying to. And so the way that I think I can best support that is ensuring that our faculty members are connecting with the program officers to hear about exactly what is looked for in the applications, the grant applications that they'll be submitting. And also making sure that our faculty are aware of grant opportunities that are arising and the priorities for the different federal agencies. So what I've been doing in that regard is working within RIPS, within the Office of Sponsored Programs, which Dara Little will be speaking about next, to ensure that the research development specialists are aware of federal priorities as they're developing from the agencies. I'm also working to bring faculty members to Washington, D.C. to meet with federal agency officials. Unfortunately, the budget situation has been quite constraining in the number of faculty that we've been able to bring to Washington, D.C. But a clear outcome from one of our engagements with a federal agency is engineering professor Federico Chimarella has spent time with me in Washington, D.C., visiting with various Department of Defense offices, as well as the National Institute for Standard and Technology, NIST. As an outcome of one of his meetings in Washington, D.C., NIU actually co-hosted with Northwestern a NIST workshop at Northwestern on the research topic that Dr. Chimarella is pursuing, which is 3D printing of metals. And so that was directly because Dr. Chimarella met with NIST through a meeting organized by the Office of Federal Relations. Those types of meetings are critical because that is where the priorities are set for the next round of funding calls. So the best way to be competitive for your funding is to help write the call that's going to be coming out. I will also say that I have been not reluctant, but it's been, we've had to be very conscientious in which federal agencies we engage and which faculty, because NIU is going through a prioritization process. So I have been careful to not get out too far ahead of that and try and invest the limited travel resources that we have in faculty in specific funding areas if those are ultimately not going to be part of the program, part of the priority areas for NIU going forward. So I'm trying to be very responsive, which ultimately leads me to maybe perhaps be a little conservative in bringing folks out to D.C.
One of the things I'd like to probably discuss with Dr. Blasey and Provost Freeman is, you speak a lot of the importance of meet and greet and name recognition. And, of course, in any campaign, that's the first step is name recognition. But I think that as we talk about research and the commitment to research, I'd like to, through this committee, have more substantive conversation in exactly the correlation between what research are we planning, what research are we doing, what agencies are we trying to find the funding. We all know it's difficult. Let's talk more about what are the results and what level of funding is more prevalent these days, and what level of co-sponsorship, is that a direction? I haven't heard enough of this. Is the direction of the future more in co-sponsorship of projects so that we're with perhaps larger institutions? Or do we take a lead in certain areas that we have greater strength than perhaps others? I think that as we develop our committee meetings, I'd like more specificity about the relationship with the federal government as it relates to grants. Jerry, would you like to make a comment?
Yeah, I'll make a comment. I also share Anna's concern about getting ahead of program prioritization. We are certainly considering many options right now. We've had extended discussions with the deans of each college, with Provost Freeman. And one of the things we are looking at very closely as we consider future research, scholarship, artistry directions is how we can best leverage partnerships with the federal agencies, particularly the local laboratories, but it also extends to the agencies themselves in Washington. We're very cognizant of this, your concern, but again, it's a little bit early to start discussing it with the board while we're going through this program prioritization process. Perhaps Provost Freeman would like to comment?
Okay. I'll push a little harder as chairman of this committee. I am respectful of our process and our processes. We've been going through prioritization for, 18 months, I think. But I also feel that time's of the essence, and time's of the essence when we're in crisis, to be aggressive and definitive on these things. And I would imagine that even though we're going through program prioritization, there are some basic areas of expertise and recognition at NIU. We're not starting from zero, and we're making decisions that we've never thought about. We know we have strengths in certain areas. We know we've had grants in certain areas. We need to be more aggressive in determining where we are. And perhaps you're doing a lot of this behind the scenes, but I think it is important that the Board of Trustees knows about it through this committee, because this really is at the essence of who we are and where we're going to go.
If I could just say that, I don't think we want to give the board or anyone in the audience the impression that we've hit a pause button because we're doing a university-wide presentation. I attended with Dr. Quiter a wonderful set of presentations at the College of Engineering and Engineering Technology yesterday afternoon, where our research active faculty who have federal funding from some agencies and or who are pursuing federal funding from others gave an overview of their research so that Dr. Quiter could figure out where the best place to get them connected is. Clearly, all of our faculty who pursue research scholarship and artistry are continuing to work in their laboratories in the field to create works of art and to position themselves for future success. We released yesterday the process that will be used to guide faculty hiring and link faculty hires to our program prioritization process. And I think one of the nice components of that is consultation across the colleges with the provost and the vice president for research and the leveraging of partnerships. So I think you're correct, Madam Chair, that we need to continue to communicate to the trustees all of the wonderful things that are going on and how we're continuing to move forward and position ourselves and leverage federal relations along with all aspects of our academic mission.
I appreciate those comments. And also, I want you and the public to understand that during these times of crisis, the board is even more attentive to the present as opposed to only being concerned as to the process and into the future. So sharing with this board and this committee practical aspects of where we are from a funding perspective will continue to be very important. And we're talking about now how we're planning throughout this year, this academic year, the committee meetings that we will have through legislative and research. Okay. Thank you very much, Dr.
Thank you for your time.
Okay. We can go over a little bit, Mr. Chair. If we go over like 10 minutes. Okay. We can go over like 10 minutes.
I'm good. Thank you, Chair Muir and the board, for allowing me the chance to present the FY16 sponsored funding report. I understand I have about 10 minutes, so I'm keenly aware and I don't want to encroach on my boss's time.
Thank
so I will try to be thorough, but get through everything as quickly as possible. So, I have the clicker. Well, that would help. Okay. There we go. So FY16, we had 135 faculty and staff secure 290 awards. As you can see, that was for a total of $28 million. You can see that research was down this year. A couple of factors that we think contributed to that. We did have a couple of very active research departments receive funding last year, and so they've been funded, and so they weren't quite as active for this year. We also know that social science research, education, and engineering research is down. A number of factors explaining that, just a loss of faculty, some large research projects that were winding down. That being said, there are some bright spots. Physics almost doubled its research funding from FY15 to FY16. I think partially that was due to the build-out of the accelerator research cluster. Overall support in the math and physical sciences is up 6%, as was research funding in health and human sciences. Public service, you'll notice that was up as well in FY16, and that was primarily due to additional funding that was received through our Regional Development Institute and the Illinois Interactive Report Card. So here is just a four-year funding overview with a breakout by sponsor, which again is what we would expect to see, federal and state sponsors making up the majority of our external funding portfolio. Again, both of those sponsors remaining relatively constant over previous years. You might be wondering, particularly with all of the things going on with the state, how that could have remained constant. And that's really because most of the funding that we receive from the state is for fixed programs. Not going to say that they're not completely dependent on the state budget, but they're not overly dependent on that state budget. So some of those programs are federal flow-through social service programs that are mandated through the court. And again, the federal is where we would expect to see it, just with the federal funding climate, and again, the faculty that we have positioned for federal funding. That spike in FY14, just a reminder, that was a large $7 million state award that the university had received through outreach for the Illinois Shared Learning Environment. So I won't say much about this slide. It just gives you a snapshot of the funding breakout by college and division. Fairly unchanged, it's what we would expect to see at liberal arts and sciences and outreach. The two largest areas that do tend to receive the most external funding. So this is kind of a time series of external funding by the divisions and colleges that receive over $1 million in funding or more per year. And so you can see, again, liberal arts and sciences is really on level with FY14. And outreach is kind of right in the middle of FY14 and FY15. Again, that spike for outreach last year or this year is due to the regional development funding and the Illinois Interactive Report Card. Of course, what you can see here, particularly with the two areas that receive the most external funding, is that there is a lot of volatility year over year. Our College of Education in FY15, they did receive a large $1 million contract for international teacher training, and so that's why they were up a few years ago. And engineering technology, the one thing that we're seeing is, again, some of their larger federal grants are winding down. So the work that Federico Ciamarella was here to present a couple of meetings ago, that grant is ending. So As you can see and as you know, proposals and award amounts tend to vary significantly year over year. There's a lot of factors that come into play with that, and so really to get a full sense of external funding on campus, we also want to make sure that we're looking at our sponsored funding expenditures. And so the expenditures really do provide a more constant measure of external funding support because they reflect the actual the sponsored funding activities that are actually occurring on campus at any given time. So you can see here we do have more compressed data because we have to pull this information out of different university systems. So when you see private, that's nonprofit funding, it's industry funding, foreign funding. Again, the expenditure rate really kind of tracks the award levels, and the FY14, that was the ramp down when we were still spending out a lot of the ERA funds or the stimulus funds that we received starting back in FY10. So this is just a quick look at the indirect cost recovery by sponsor. Again, it does reflect the general total effective overhead rate return of about between, 1 to 15%. Again, it was higher back in FY13. That's when we had a lot of those ERA awards that were being spent, and so we had some peak spending periods during that time. The breakout by sponsor is completely what we would expect to see, with the majority of overhead return coming from our federal sponsors. Federally funded research, of course, carries the highest return of overhead. Our effective rate on federally funded research is 32%. I think that's pretty good against our federally negotiated rate of 47%. Of course, the lowest return of overhead is on state awards or those received through nonprofit and for non-research projects. And those projects carry about a 6% overhead return rate. We did see that we are up a little bit in FY16 in overhead return. There's a lot of factors that could be at play with this, and so we are taking a look to better understand that, but it probably has to do with just different spend rates under the grants, or we have grants that are active now that are just carrying, you know, a higher overhead rate. And again, this is something that SPI is looking to do a better job of assessing in the long term. So we were just talking about grant submissions and getting out with the agencies, and so I did want to touch on the proposal activity and not just the money that we're bringing in, but what are our faculty doing, you know, how many proposals are we submitting. And so you can see to the left is a graph that just shows the value of the submissions from FY13 on up to FY16. And so, you know, that value has gone down. But I think what's most important is the trend line to the right that shows the number of submissions against tenure track faculty headcount. I noticed in the last meeting that Jerry had mentioned that, you know, we have a decrease in faculty and we have instability. Certainly in the state, we're well aware of these things. And it does seem to be that there is a relationship there. Do want to note that the tenure track headcount here is just for the colleges of liberal arts and sciences, engineering, HHS, and education. And the reason that I did decide to look at proposals against those specific colleges and for tenure track is because if we're thinking about, if we want to stimulate research, most of the external funding is going to come through our academic colleges and certainly through our tenure track faculty. So that's why I narrowed it down to those four areas. Yeah, and I'll also add, there was some discussion of program prioritization, that is something that we're hearing on the ground as well. And not just, it's not the university, but from faculty just concerned of the state instability and that they have been holding off on submitting proposals. And so at least anecdotally, that is something we're experiencing in sponsored programs. So I'm going to shift gears here to talk a little bit about what we've been doing in the office to help support external funding over the last year. It's a start, and we have a ways to go, but I think we've made some great progress. Now, Jerry says this gives him a headache, but I really wanted to show it. So it's a bit of my baby. And it is a work in progress with my colleagues at two other California institutions, another state known for its economic struggles. But it really is intended to show the complexity and the shared institutional responsibility for external funding. And so I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it. I certainly would encourage you to take a look at it more closely when you have a minute. But the key takeaway here is that with external funding, our faculty investigators are really our key stakeholders. And it takes many institutional units to support and facilitate faculty funding efforts. We all support external funding when we make the process of submitting and managing their awards as easy as possible, and when we protect the institution from compliance issues so that the agencies are comfortable giving NIU funds and our faculty funds for their work. So some of the things that we have been doing in SPA, keeping administrative burden, rising compliance, a challenging funding climate, and limited local resources in mind. I'm pleased to say that we've been working with many other university units to try to enhance the infrastructure, if you will, for external funding throughout that funding life cycle. And so I'm just going to highlight a few examples here. With enhancing funding development, in the last year, we have had two meetings with the NIU Foundation. So we've brought our proposal development specialist and the foundation together to talk about how we might more holistically approach external funding, recognizing that some projects may be perfectly suited for a competitive grant proposal, while some projects are just, you know, more suited for maybe a sponsorship or a donation, but also understanding how we can leverage each other's strengths to support our faculty needs. One concept there is cost sharing. So when we need cost sharing for a project, is it possible to work through the foundation to obtain a gift for that? So we look forward to having more meetings with the foundation. Our research development specialists have a lot of ideas about how to work with the gift officers, and we certainly look forward to those meetings, but we have had two over the past year. Our pre-award team and our senior research development specialists have been working closely with Vice President Blasey to build out what Dave Stone had started with the PI Academy. And so this year that'll include a professional development series that will be available to all of campus, as well as mentor and other professional development opportunities. Andrea Buford and Donna Martin have really been instrumental in working with Dr. Blasey to stand that program up this year. And I think it's allowed us to really leverage our internal resources between sponsored programs and the Vice President's office to do the kind of outreach and programming for our faculty that we should be doing anyway. From a policy perspective, the last time the university updated its internal distribution for overhead was in 1993. And so I had an opportunity to work with Dr. Blasey over the last year to update that distribution and to work with administration on that. And so that new distribution will take effect this fiscal year, FY17. We believe that the new model will place more accountability on the use of recovered indirect or overhead funds, to ensure that they're being used to support research and scholarship activities. A new component of that distribution is also returning a small share back to the faculty investigator to give them a little bit more flexibility for managing their research program. So if they need seed funding or bridge funding to get them through, that they have that. We've also been working with the Provost Office and with Human Resources to streamline the hiring process for postdoctoral scholars. These are highly technical positions, but are absolutely critical for our research faculty and if we're to build out our research programs. And then finally, internally, behind the scenes, we have been working to streamline our own business processes in sponsored programs. And so one of the things I mentioned last year when I gave this talk to the board was that we were looking to streamline our award notification process and to make sure that our faculty were getting their account numbers as quickly as possible when their awards come in so that they can start spending their money as quickly as possible. And so I'm really happy to report that since last October, we've reduced our account setup time by 50%. And we now have put a policy in place that accounts are set up within 10 days of award receipt. And we're meeting that goal 85% of the time. And where we're not meeting it is because, I mean, there's an explanation. And so I think we're moving in the right direction there. And I guess with that, I would just close and that, again, to reiterate that collaboration is key. All of the different initiatives that Sponsored Programs has been working on over the last year have required the work of these different units. And so, you know, Sponsored Programs cannot support faculty on our own. We need the work of whether it's Human Resources or whether it's working with procurement and, as Jerry has talked about, reducing those research impediments. And so, again, it's our goal to make submitting proposals and managing those awards to be as easy as possible for our faculty so that they have time to do the research. But we need to work with the other units to do that. And I'm happy to say they've all worked really well with us too this last year. So looking ahead, Sponsored Programs Administration was identified as a program for enhancement under program prioritization. That is not something that I take lightly, and I think that's a great responsibility for the office. And so I have worked with Jerry to come up with a plan to respond for that. As you know, that is with the Budget Committee at this time.
We do have some new spa leadership that I'm very excited about. This last year was a bit of a growing year for our office as we merged the pre-award and post-award office over a year ago. Kelly Dislin, who was in the acting associate director role for proposal support, is now in that role on a permanent basis. And we're seeing a lot of good things coming out of our pre-award area. And then I'm very excited to announce that next week, Sue Gosman will be joining us, and she will be taking the helm of our post-award area as associate director for award support. And she's coming to us with a wealth of sponsored funding experience from George Mason and at the University of Maryland. And I'm really excited. She actually did her dissertation on faculty perception of indirect cost. So I'm very excited to have her here. And then in sponsored programs, we want to focus more on performance measurement and data analytics, just to make sure that the changes that we're making are actually having their intended effect, and to do more modeling to better understand where we need to be in terms of proposal submissions so that we can try to increase external funding. So I'll stop there.
Thank you very much. Trustee Boyd?
Just curious, on some of your funding charges show the term foreign. What does that stand for?
Those would be foreign sponsors.
Right.
So international.
International.
International sponsors. We have, for example, one company in Taiwan that provides support for one of our faculty members over in engineering. We have, most of them are foreign companies. It's not a big portion of our portfolio, but.
No, it's not big, but I was curious about
yes.
what this
stands for. Yeah.
Thank you.
Other questions or comments? One comment you made that I want to highlight is I want to commend Dr. Phillips and Dr. Friedman for addressing procedural issues that you know it's in your power to deal with that. And I thought the metrics of the turnaround time was excellent. And I think that type of metrics is really important as well, because there are things that we can manage ourselves and there are outside forces that we can't, but certainly anything that's internal. And you did an excellent job, both of you, in coordinating to address a 50% reduction in turnaround time. That was excellent.
Thank you. Right.
Well, thank you.
Thank
Any
you.
Other comments? All right, thank you very much. Dr. Blasey?
Good morning, Chair Muir, and good morning to the board. I think I can abbreviate my talk somewhat. We've had excellent setup by Dr. Kreider and Assistant VP Little, so I'll strip some of that information out of my talk and get to my main points. I was charged by the chair to describe what our basic support is for the research enterprise here at NIU, so I'm going to go through that in a little bit of detail to give you a sense of what we do and also some of our plans for the future. I thank Professor Long for pointing out in his comments how important it is the support is for to help the university move forward. So this is my slide about what is motivating us in terms of our planning for the future. It's a response to the fact that to remain competitive, NIU has to distinguish itself through research and its reputation, and that to retain and recruit students and faculty in the future, we have to also be supporting the research, art, scholarship, and artistry. It's been demonstrated in the academic literature that having a strong research program actually helps you attract and retrain and retain both undergraduate and graduate students. And I can go on a long time about that, but I don't think you want to hear me do it. Over the past year, RIPS has taken a two-pronged approach to promoting research and innovation at little cost, relatively little cost, other than the time of the individuals involved. We've been working with the provost's office and administration and finance to reduce the policy and procedural impediments to research. Dara said a little about that. I'll give you a little more detail. And we've been assuring, and the second prong is assuring direct support is available for faculty to maintain and, most importantly, initiate new scholarship and innovation. So a bit about removing impediments. We formed a research and innovation advisory council that's populated by a spectrum of researchers and artists and scholars from across the campus, and they agreed to actually take on specific jobs in the form of a task force. And the first task I asked them to do was to identify the impediments to their scholarship and rank them. And here's their top five rankings: no return on FNA or the indirect costs directly to the faculty. Well, we are doing that now, and I can assure you that that was a great morale booster for the research community. There was, as Dara mentioned, there was a high cost and long lead time for hiring postdocs. Well, just a week ago, I think, we agreed on a policy where that impediment is completely gone. So now we can almost, as quickly as we can handle the paperwork, we've completely streamlined the process. It should take a weeks rather than months to hire postdocs. Third was the difficulty confirming matching funds from university for grant proposals. That's just internal to SPA and to my office, and we will get that squared away quite quickly. More formal mentoring with quality feedback on proposals or research plans. Dara mentioned that we're really beefing up our professional training program for our scholars, and also a mentoring program is in place. And then five, difficult to get travel advance rather than reimburse. This actually is a awkward impediment. You need to be respectful of controls and compliance, but you also need to enable the faculty to get out there into the field as quickly as they can and to assist their students. I know that there are options underway right now within finance to accommodate travel, and we're in close communications with them as they develop their plans for us. So we've actually been quite successful. The list was actually 40 long, and we started at the top, so there's a lot of room for improvement. The other prong is the direct support, and there are four programs within RIPS that make up the framework for supporting our faculty. Dara talked about sponsored programs. We also have the Office of Innovation, which assists faculty with development and protection of IP. Office of Research Compliance Integrity and Safety. It basically takes care of all the non-financial compliance aspects of research and scholarship. The financial aspects occur in SPA, but everything else is within the Office of Research and Compliance. And then a fourth program that we really formed in the last year or so is the and then there's, of course, Office of Federal Relations, which you heard about already. So these four offices constituted an essentially obligatory framework for institutional scholarship and innovation. It ensures the faculty have the assistance they need and ensures we are respectful of regulatory and compliance requirements. So we formed a fifth program in the last year. Well, actually formalized it. There were elements of this floating around, but now it's actually a recognized program with its own budget line to support faculty. And that's the Faculty Research and Development Support Program. It has four components: the competitive programs, which is our intramural program to assist our researchers, also our prizes or award programs, and in addition, our external mentoring program. Then we have core facilities, which involves instrumentation, high-performance computing. We have some research centers that focus resources and personnel on specific topics. And then we have the faculty development, which is things like startup for new initiatives, startups for new faculty, cost matching, and other for all sorts of scholarly activities. So over the past year, because of budget limitations, we've been focusing on the professional development by updating and extending our Principal Investigator Academy. And we've been broadening the instrumentation program by attempting to broaden it by starting up a program with a vendor who has a quite aggressive and attractive cost-sharing program for instrumentation. And that's primarily in the hard sciences. We're talking spectrometers and mass specs and things like that. As Dara pointed out, but didn't say it in this way, a return on our investment has been excellent. In FY15, NIU received $30 million in sponsored funding, of about which $4 million in indirect costs were recovered, compared to an investment of something on the order of $1.5 million during that period. So indirect costs allocated for operation of RIPS and reinvestment, they're allocated for research and scholarship. The increased investment in this program increases research again, and indirect costs, I call that something of a virtuous circle. By investing in research, we actually not only increase our reputation, but we get more indirect costs to support research and other activities in the university. An excellent example is the accelerator research concentration, which Dara mentioned in her talk, which was initiated in 2014 with Fermilab. External funding attracted by the concentration has generated more funding than currently invested in the center. At a cost of about $1 million to date, they've guaranteed about $3 million in collaborative funding with Fermilab and $2.7 million in external funding. So that's that uptick that Dara mentioned, and it's a direct result of a deliberate investment we made in a concentration with a partner that we could leverage, essentially. And interestingly enough, we now have arguably the largest academic accelerator program in the country. We have a number of areas of research and scholarship that can develop into strong concentrations like this, and that's the discussion we're currently having with the deans. And I take your message, Chair Muir, that we should engage the board more directly in those discussions. And they would have immediate impact on institutional research intensity. So looking forward, the task force recommendations strongly endorse expanding university scholarship and innovation. That was sort of a theme. They were very specific for the Division of Research and Innovation Partnerships and recommended enhancement of the faculty development program, of sponsored programs, and of the Office of Innovation. In response to those recommendations, we presented a plan to the Executive Budget Committee and President Baker, which features expansions of those programs, including resources for additional research concentrations and expansion of SPA and the Office of Innovation. With these proposals, the total RIPS budget would reach almost 2% of the total university budget. Just a few closing comments. We continue to provide the infrastructure for supporting research and innovation. That's our bottom line. That's always there. As resources are available, we up our support, direct support to faculty. Over the past year, we've made real progress reducing impediments. But as I said, there's much more room for improvement. An expansion of key programs would significantly enhance the research enterprise and our ability to compete for students and faculty and to retain them. So I cut myself short. I hope you'll take a chance to look at the slides. I think it will give you a good sense of what we're trying to do. And with that, I'll take any questions.
Thank you. Any questions from the board? Just a couple of comments. One, I want to thank Dr. Blasey for your leadership and your commitment to research, innovation, and dedication in that regard. It also strikes me in listening this morning that what we have is a crew team, and we have to make sure that all our oars are in the water at the same time, going in the same direction. We had evidence of that, I think, from Dr. Long's comments representing the Faculty Senate. I think that we saw with the provost and finance that you're solving problems. Certainly the leadership from the president's office that this is important. And I think also the fact that this Board of Trustees deemed it appropriate to make this a standing committee, I'll always be grateful for that, because I think it really indicates from the board level that research is really at the epicenter of what we do at this university, and it helps propel us to the future. So thank you, everyone, and thank you for your comments. Okay, given the time and Thank you, Chair Strauss, for being indulgent on this. Are there any other matters that require the attention of this committee today? Hearing none, the next Laurie committee meeting is set for 9 a.m. on November 17th. May I have a motion to adjourn? Second? All in favor? Okay, we stand adjourned. Thank you very much.